Grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. The text is the gospel for today, which was read out a moment or two ago about the rich man who was going to build a huge store of all his goods and then retire and have a luxury life. I pray that God will guide us as we again reflect on his word to us today. I think that one of the most unfortunate legacies that Western civilization has left in Papua New Guinea and in its neighbouring islands is a strange and at times sadly comical cargo cult as they call it. And that developed when Europeans came, bringing all their machine and equipment and luxuries. And the local people at the time were virtually living in the Stone Age. They saw all these wonders as magic. And since everything that they saw came on big ships or on planes, it was called cargo then, all the material goods from the Western world became known by that name, cargo. Then came World War II. The Americans came with hundreds of ships bringing millions and millions of tons of supplies. They gave lots of the things that they brought to the local people in order to earn their goodwill. And when the war ended, they left huge quantities of goods and supplies, equipment, machinery there on the beaches. And now it's practically impossible to convince many of those local people that this wasn't a gift sent to them by one of their ancestors. Now, this cargo cult takes many different forms. There was one group a number of years ago that was saving up to buy something, and I bet you couldn't guess in all the world what they were planning to buy. They were planning to buy the President of the United States, because he was the head of the world's richest country. I don't know how Donald Trump would take that. It's a bit like those people who wanted to make Jesus their king after he'd miraculously fed them from that little bunch of fish and bread rolls. One of the men up there in the highlands of Papua New Guinea found an unexploded bomb there in the bush. And he thought that this must be the egg of one of those giant birds that kept flying over. So he piled up a whole lot of wood around it and then set fire to the wood, hoping to hatch the egg. But some years ago, a village right up there in the Western Highlands, almost 300 kilometres inland, they built a huge, huge dock, port, expecting that large ocean liners would sail up some of the narrow mountain streams in order to discharge cargo for them. Now, I think that the reason why cargo cult was so readily accepted by people is that it appeals to a basic human trait, greed and covetousness. And I think we're as much caught up in this in our society as any Highlander in Papua New Guinea ever was. And that's why we need to hear and to heed Jesus' word in our text. Don't be greedy, he says. Life is more than money. And that's a warning that's very much needed today too, also among church people. Because covetous greed is one of the big sins of our increasingly affluent society. Now, I know things have been a little bit difficult for some people in the last few years. I know that. But in spite of that, we are still a wealthy country when we look at our place in the world. Our homes or our units are crammed full of all sorts of gadgets that make for a comfortable and easy living. Just about everyone gets around with a mobile phone. When you travel on the bus in Adelaide, everyone's sitting in their seat with a mobile phone. And we give our grandchildren more and more expensive toys than they ever know what to do with. And so it goes. But where does this all lead? I think we very easily, very quickly develop an attitude that life owes us these things. And if we haven't got them all, we feel a little bit deprived. We've been cheated, like the man in today's gospel, who thought that his brother got more out of his father's estate than he did. And you know, I suspect that we're never really satisfied. The more we have, the more we want. And we push ourselves to the limit to get it. Or we look for a quick solution, hoping for the big win on the pokies. If it's not the pokies, Australians will bet on just about anything and everything else that's going. Now that might be harmless entertainment for some, but for so many it's deadly serious, because they are deadly covetous. Now, why is this sin so dangerous? Well, a quick look at Bible history will very quickly tell us. King David covetously desired and coveted Bathsheba, the wife of one of his loyal military leaders. He ordered her to come to him in the palace and adulterously made love to her. And when he found out that she was pregnant, he arranged for her husband Uriah to be killed, and then he took her into the palace as another wife. Then there was King Ahab. He wanted the vineyard adjoining his palace. But when the owner, a man called Naboth, declined, he stirred up a mob of rioters, and Naboth was stoned to death. Then he simply took the vineyard. Again, covetousness led to lying, to hatred, to murder, and to stealing. Then, of course, there was Judas, the traitor apostle, who sold Jesus out for 30 shekels, 30 silver coins. And you know, the same sort of thing is still happening today. Covetous greed leads to gambling. You don't have to look too far to see the heartbreak that many families are facing as a result of this. It's covetousness that leads a teenager to steal a car and take it for a joyride, that leads to an employee to embezzle from the firm's funds, that makes a husband or wife cheat on their spouse, or that moves a child even, to shoplift. And I think that's a condition that's there in our naturally sinful heart. And really, this is the big point that Jesus is making here in our text. A rich farmer had such a good harvest that he didn't know where to put it all. So he decided he was going to build some huge barns, store it all up, retire at 40, and then live a life of ease and luxury for the rest of his life. Well, you lucky man, he said to himself. You've got all the good things you need for many years to come. Just take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But don't be too quick to judge this man, or you might be passing judgment on yourself. Because I suspect that there's more than just a little of this self-made farmer in each one of us. There are many in our society who appear to be living with his attitude and his values. So I suspect you can see this farmer all around you. He might be living in splendid retirement, but he's so wrapped up in the material things of this world that he or she just hasn't got time for God. You'll see them enjoying a weekend outing, perhaps with their family, and that's a good thing, as long as it doesn't exclude family worship. You'll see them worshipping at the idol of their house and their garden. You'll see them leading such a hectic social life that they haven't got any time for serving in God's kingdom. I can still very vividly remember a young couple who put off having their baby baptized until they could afford to build a new sunroom, paint and carpet the whole house, and then arrange a big party for all their friends. Well, I spoke with him about this on several occasions, until finally one day they called me. Their infant child had suddenly died. I buried that child on what would have been its first birthday, Before the couple had made their house and finished their home, it was a very, very different kind of party that that couple had that time. This is the sort of attitude that prompted Jesus to tell this story. A man came and asked Jesus to settle a dispute between him and his brother over their inheritance. He wasn't interested in who Jesus was and in the forgiveness and new life that Jesus could offer. All he wanted was to get his hands on his father's money. Well, in one of Paul's letters to young Pastor Timothy, he wrote, "What did we bring into this world? Nothing. What can we take out of this world? Nothing." And then he added, "The love of money is a source of all kinds of evils. Some have been so eager to have it that they've wandered away from the faith and have broken the hearts of many with their sorrows." This farmer in Jesus' story said to himself, "You've got all the good things you need now for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But don't ever forget the end to that story. God said to that farmer, 'You fool, you fool, this very night you'll have to give up your life. Then who's going to get all these things that you've kept for yourself?' And then he added, 'This is how it will be with those who pile up riches for themselves but are not rich in God's sight.'" You see, life is a whole lot more than simply a bun fight for worldly possessions. There's more to life than eating and drinking and partying till you blot out. If all you've got at the end of your life is a few million or more dollars, or the dregs of a social life that you've drained to the very bottom, then that is not going to stand you in very good stead for eternity. In fact, it's not going to count for anything at all. You see, life as God intends it to be starts with Jesus Christ. In Christ and his forgiving love, sealed to you there on Calvary's cross, God gives you an overflowing abundance of what really counts in life. This life and the next. In Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, you have a joy and a peace and a security that nothing in this world, nothing else in this world can even begin to give you. And that's something you don't have to go madly scrambling after, climbing over the top of everybody else and wearing yourself to a frazzle in the process. And included in this is also forgiveness for all of your selfishness, all of your covetousness, and all of your greed from the past. And included in this is also God's promise to you, "I'll help you overcome yourself. I'll help you to lift your gaze beyond the perishing things of this world. I'll help you to set your heart and your life really on what I can give you. I'll help you," God says, "if only you trust me enough to give me the chance. I'll do more for you than you can ever even begin to dream of. The closer you hold to your faith in Jesus Christ and follow where he leads, the more I will recreate you into a new kind of person. And while I renew you spiritually," God says, I'll also provide for all of your earthly needs." And that is God's promise to you. And it's sealed to you in the blood of Jesus Christ. So take God at his word. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be yours as well. Amen. The peace of God that passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.